Good morning. This is Les Harms speaking on behalf of the Adams County Historical Society, welcoming you to another segment of Adams County History. On the last moment in time, I spoke on the topic of the Germans from Russia who were living in the southeast part of Hastings. These people were Germans from formerly living in Russia since the Russian Empress Catherine II had encouraged them to come to settle in Russia. She had encouraged them with offers of low taxes, no military involvement, free transportation, plus 300 rubles to help with their housing and their food. And in response to this offer, 29,000 Germans immigrated to the Volga River region in Russia, settling in excess of about 100 villages. However, following the end of Catherine's reign, the next ruler was not so kind and generous, and he said these things would all return. And at this time, American immigration was pushing westward. Many of these Germans from Russia elected to migrate to America. Hastings was the recipient of a number of these immigrants. Altogether, between 1905 and 1912, the south and east side of Hastings received 350 families from the Volga River region. During the early years, there was a demand for unskilled labor in Hastings, and the Germans from Russia were willing to work hard. Many were hired by the railroad. Many staffed the brickyard plants that were in Hastings. This morning, I thought it might be interesting to hear a firsthand account of some of the descendants that could relate to the culture of that ethnic group in Hastings. The Eckhart Grocery Store, located on the 100 block of East South Street, was a central meeting place for many of the Germans from Russia. One might say it was the hub of the lives of people living in this area. So I found the narrative of Donna Eckhart Johnson Grothen. Since her grandfather had established the store in 1906 by trading some farmland for several lots and built a grocery store. And from her narrative, she continues to write some of the following. These are her words and what she says. My grandfather, Henry Eckhart, oldest son of Heinrich Eckhart and Anna Marguerite Eckhart, came to Nebraska as a seven-year-old, along with a brother and sister. The family started farming in the Kennesaw and the Atlanta areas. My grandfather's three sisters and four brothers all farmed in the Camel Holdridge area. She goes ahead to state, my grandmother came across the Atlantic by herself at 18 with her passage paid for by an older brother. She was 4 feet 9 inches tall, and she washed dishes in a hotel in New York for $2 a week, in which she saved $1 until she had saved $100, enough for her brother's passage to America. She then worked enough for the next brother's passage, and then worked until she saved another $100 by saving $1 a week. Sometime around World War I, she received news that two of her sisters had been taken to Siberia. She always felt sad about that part. Well, the store, as I said, was a hub for the German-Russian people in the southeast part of Hastings. She goes ahead to say, the immigrants would gather to exchange news. They might discuss a new family coming to town, a death, or an upcoming marriage. Men would play checkers around the pot-bellied stove. The neighborhood women would come to the store first thing in the morning to get perishables for the day. They'd come in the evening to get milk, which they would put in cold water to keep fresh for morning breakfast. They always wore their aprons and usually stopped along the way to visit with the neighbors. On Mondays, the women would come to buy a soup bone for the wash day meal. The store at this time stocked a wide variety of goods besides groceries. You could buy thread, overalls, shirts, kerosene, animal feed, patent medicine, and a large wooden keg held vinegar, and customers brought their own containers. Many farmers in the area would stop on their way into town and drop off a crate of fresh eggs, leaving their list of groceries for Grandma to fill. Now, Grandma could not read or write, but she would memorize each order as they told her, and then she would have it packed in the empty egg crate for the exact amount of money in exchange for the eggs. Grandpa was a generous man, but Grandma was very frugal. They were a good team. It was widely known that Grandma would break a cracker in half to make the scale come out right. You got exactly what you paid for. No more, no less. When the circus came to town, the store windows would be covered solid with a large poster announcing the big day, which my grandparents would receive a free pass. Milk was 5 cents a quart in a glass container, which had to be returned. Neighborhood children would collect pop bottles and sell them in the store. In many cases, this was the only money that children could make. The store was always open at 7 a.m. and would close at 10 p.m. 6 days a week. On Sundays, the store would open until noon, and then would reopen in the afternoon if a neighbor needed something. There was a barn in the back for horses that were used to deliver groceries. In 1921, World War I was over, and a new brick grocery store building replaced the old wooden one, which had been destroyed by fire. A truck was purchased for groceries, and a gas pump stood out in front. After the stock market crash of 1929 and the bank failures that followed, my grandparents and my father lost all the money that they had in the bank. They still owned the houses, the stores, some farms, but they had no money to keep them going. It was then that Grandma disclosed she had hidden several hundred dollars in the back of a mantel clock. She proudly produced the money, and the crisis was avoided. That clock now sits on my mantel, where it serves daily as a reminder of my heritage. She says, "I grew up thinking that cleanliness was next to godliness, and that was the 11th commandment." That comment was often heard as to how clean the grocery store was. The meat would be washed and shined, and every day, everything taken out, wrapped, put away for the evening. The store windows were religiously washed until they sparkled. It was my job to sweep the sidewalk in front of the store twice a day, because we had steam engines, and with the Union Pacific tracks just 30 feet away, lots of soot would fall. The floor was wooden, and it was oiled regularly. The shelves were cleaned out each time that a new item would come into the store. Well, in 1955, my parents made a decision to close the store. Supermarkets had come to town, and the need for the neighborhood grocery stores had diminished. The store had earned the neighborhood and its people as a place to be for that time period. The building would become a secondhand furniture store eventually. And the building still stands on the 100 block of South Street. And if you look at the grocery store on the west side, you'll still see the sign of Eckhart Grocery Store. Another small memento of that area was the German Emmanuel Congregational Church, just several blocks east of the grocery store. It was built in 1908, and it served as a hub because the church was a very important part of the Germans from Russia, their part of their ethic, a very part of it. A few things that was interesting was, one writer had said, "Men ruled the church. Women were not allowed to attend any business meetings. Husbands and wives did not sit together during the services. As you entered the church, the women sat on the left, the men sat on the right. Well, this gives us a picture of what life was like in the early part of the century on the southeast part of Hastings. The Germans from Russia were a very definite cultural epic part of the history of Hastings. Their hardworking demeanor and the way they lived all formed a very definite fabric in the building of Hastings as a city. This moment in time has been a presentation of the Adams County Historical Society. We think it is so important to preserve the history of Adams County. And so we invite you to listen, learn, and to consider joining our society so that we might preserve that history, what we have. So once again, this is Les Harms inviting you to tune in on the second and the fourth Friday of each month. Thank you for listening.